Good evening. If you're a visitor tonight with us, we count you as an honored guest. We'd like for you to know that this is a group of people that are trying to get to heaven. And we're going to try to take as many people with us as we can. Is that on now? And if you're looking for a place to call a church home, a place to worship and work, there are opportunities at Florence Boulevard. One of the opportunities that we have every year is we participate as a congregation in Room in the Inn. Florence Boulevard has been involved since the initiation of Room in the Inn several years ago. And there's going to be an open house on Sunday, September the 10th. If you're interested in that, if you've never been to the intake center down on Chisholm Road, I would encourage you to go by there and see the intake center and see that process and see how that process works. We're all fairly familiar with how it works once the guests get here to Florence Boulevard, but it would be a good opportunity for you to go and meet some of the directors from the board of directors, some of the volunteers. It would be a good opportunity for you if you've never been down there. As we begin this evening, I want to also say my thank yous for this congregation and your prayers. Several of you, or most of you, know that I've been dealing with some sickness, had some surgery. And I do believe without the prayers and encouragement of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I would not have recovered as quickly as I have. So thank you for that. Thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your continued prayers. The Bible is very specific about certain subjects. Certain subjects are close to the heart of God. The virgin birth is mentioned twice in the Bible. Missions specifically are mentioned 12 times. Sanctification is mentioned 72 times. Repentance 110 times. Baptism 76 times. Caring for orphans, widows, poor 118 times. 44 of those specifically talking about orphans. There was a group of people from Florence Boulevard that left here on June the 25th. Our brother Haiti was, our brother Cody was gracious enough to drive us on the bus all together to the airport in Huntsville. And we flew out and flew to Haiti under the banner of Liberté Ministries. Originally, this ministry was just the Haiti School of Biblical Studies. Now it encompasses several other things, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But you all know Brother R.V. Dupuy, and this is an all-volunteer organization. The Liberté Ministries has no paid members, no paid workers. Everybody is a volunteer. Everybody that works in this ministry is a volunteer. So here are the areas of focus for Liberté Ministries, the Haiti School of Biblical Studies, which you're familiar with and this congregation supports on a monthly basis. There's a vocational fund. After 2 years of the four-year program, the young men and the young ladies in Haiti who are in the School of Biblical Studies, after they've completed 2 years, then they are eligible for a vocational training to help them have a job after they graduate. Because in Haiti, being a preacher is not a valid way to make a living. There's just not enough money there. There's not enough support there, if you will. So all the preachers that we're aware of there may be one or two that are funded by groups in the States, but most have an outside job. Church encouragement's what we've been doing the last couple of years as we've gone over there. And then things that have been added in the last little bit is the orphanage, and we'll talk about that in depth here in just a minute, and the elementary school. This was our focus for this year. We wanted to go to the Haiti School of Biblical Studies. We were graduating a four-year group. The first group to go through there, it was 21 students that were graduating, and we wanted to be there. We were invited to be there to encourage them at their graduation ceremony. We wanted to continue our church encouragement and feeding the children that we've done in the past for the Vacation Bible School. But this year also, we went to a different orphanage and an elementary school, and we're going to talk about that as we get there. So where is Haiti? If you went to Miami and went south and hung a left and passed over Cuba, you would run into the island of Hispaniola, and on one side of the island is the Dominican Republic, on the other side is the nation of Haiti. Specifically where we were this year, as we've been in years past, we went to Bonnet, Quadra Bouquet, and this year we went to Lilyvale, which is a different part of, if you would, it's a suburb of Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is the largest city in Haiti. It encompasses a lot of territory. So you can be outside the city of Port-au-Prince, but still be in the actual city limits, if you will, of Port-au-Prince. So here we are as we get ready to leave on the Sunday morning. Cody's dropped us off, and we're going through all the bags to make sure that we have identification on everything, because we take a lot of supplies with us, and a lot of these suitcases we've never seen before. Some of this luggage you may recognize because you have given it to Blue Door and other thrift stores, and we have gone and gotten this luggage. And now we use it to take down to Haiti, and we normally leave the luggage that we don't have our clothes in. We leave it there on the island, but they use it for lots of different things, and we'll talk about that a little bit as we go along. But here's the group getting ready from Florence Boulevard. We were dropped off by Cody. We went in and we checked in. We flew. This is the group. This was actually taken on Sunday morning before we came home at the hotel, before we boarded the buses or the vans to come back. But I wanted to give you an opportunity. That morning we did not have anybody that had enough, their eyes weren't open enough to take a picture on that Sunday morning very, very early. We left here at 3:30 going to Huntsville. So this is the group that went. Of that group, you will recognize 5 Willinghams, 3 Davidsons, 3 Allens, and 2 of the Hips family. We got there on our Sunday, and we had our first meal in Haiti. Now, eating for me is a sport. I enjoy eating. I enjoy eating different foods, and I normally don't back down from anything that's offered to me. I will go ahead and tell you, since you may not recognize everything on this plate, what's on this plate. We had tomatoes. We had a salad of lettuce. We had our staple, which is beans and rice. Down at the bottom, the two things that you would consider hush puppies, we would call those fish balls. A salted dry salted cod, and they take that and wash the salt from it, make it into a type of a fritter, and then fry it. And then the other item, I've asked 6 people that were on the trip what if they remembered what that was, and the best we can say and think of is that was a meat-like substance. I think it's chicken, but I'm not 100% sure. Things are served there that are different than what we're used to. But everywhere that we go, we're very careful about eating. But this was at our hotel. It was very good food, and we're very careful not to eat any of the produce that's given to us outside of our hotel. But our hotel takes very good care of the Americans. They're used to having Red Cross groups and other church groups down there. So they do a good job in sanitation and taking care of the lettuce and the tomatoes and things. Here we are after our meal. We got together, and we have a devotional every night, and the ladies and the men there are packing the snack bags for the children for the vacation Bible school. Haiti is a nation of people who are hungry. I have some statistics here. The population below the international poverty line, which is $1.25 a day, 61.7% of the population of Haiti falls in that category. Haiti is, by the World Health Organization website that I looked up, Haiti has 53.4% of its population is considered malnourished. This equates to about 5.7 million people. Zambia, in comparison, 47.8. The Central African Republic, 47.7. Namibia, 42.3. And North Korea, 41.6. It is definitely the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and is one of the top 5, which you would not want to be, one of the top 5 poorest nations in the world. But change is possible in Haiti. Several years ago in Haiti, there were 350,000 confirmed cases of cholera. Last year, there were 41,000 confirmed cases of cholera. Now you say, Mike, you know, that's 41,000 cases of cholera, still a lot of people with cholera, and you're absolutely right. In comparison, in the United States last year, there were 10 confirmed and reported cases of cholera. 5 of those were from travelers who had come back to the United States, and they had picked up the cholera in another country. So in comparison, the United States had 5 cases of homegrown cholera, and Haiti had 41,000. But in comparison, 350,000 just a couple of years before that is a great improvement. How did they do that? Education. Educating the people of Haiti on sanitation, educating the people of Haiti on how to handle people who are sick and control this deadly disease? In educating the children. And that's our theme. That's where we're going with this as we talk tonight. The children of Haiti are the future of Haiti. We talk a lot about the children in this congregation being the future of the church. They're not the future of the church. They are the church. But the children are our future. The children are the future of Haiti. If Haiti is to change, it will be through the next generation. Here we are waving at the camera as we're getting the snacks ready to go. So the next morning we get ready and we leave. And on the way to our first stop at Bonet, we see what is very common in Haiti. It's called a tap-tap. If you have money, then you can ride the tap-tap. You get on wherever it stops along the road, and as you ride along, you tap-tap when you're ready to get off, and they charge you a set amount. You get off, you pay your money, and you move on down the road. If you don't have any money, you carry or walk wherever you're going to go. These ladies are obviously going to the market carrying bread. I believe that's charcoal on the other lady's head. If you've never tried to carry something that weighs 40 or 50 pounds on your head, I don't suggest doing it if you're not used to it. But we see ladies like this and men, but mostly ladies carrying things like this all over Haiti as we go. Here's a lady carrying a 5-gallon bucket of something on her head and carrying another 5-gallon bucket. So we arrived at Bonet. We get ready for our vacation Bible school and to feed the children there. And if you'll notice in the background, there is a school there. Brother John Clabert is the headmaster of this school. He's also the preacher for this congregation at Bonet. Here we are. I wanted to show you where our water comes from when we're out away from the compound where we stay at the hotel. They come in little bags. It's very strange that they don't have bottles of water. But it's a very cheap way for them to have clean water. And they're just little bags, little hermetically sealed bags, and you just bite the corner off the bag and you drink the water out of it. We always take something and wipe the corner of the bag before we drink it, but because they put them in a big barrel and throw some ice in there, and you never know where the ice came from. But we do make sure that everyone stays hydrated, and I wanted to show you a picture. That's the only picture I had of the little bags of water there where we stay hydrated as we're out. Here's the picture of Bonet the first morning as we showed up for the Vacation Bible School. You see there's a very good mixture of ages there, a lot of children, but there's also a lot of adults. We're getting ready for the beginning of the Vacation Bible School there. Like I said, the children of Haiti are the future. I chose this picture to show you because I wanted you to understand. Look at the young lady in the picture in the blue. No child, in my mind, should be that skinny. You can see her ribs. Somebody say, why do you feed the children when you go to Haiti? Why do you feed them when you go? Because they're malnourished, because they need the food. Beautiful children, ready to learn, eager. The teachers will all tell you that they hugged on them and loved on them the entire time they were there, but there's no reason for these children to be that hungry or that skinny. The kitchen needed water, so some of the gentlemen from Florence Boulevard volunteered to pump the water. The first morning that we were there, this well was drilled by Healing Hands International. It actually was re-drilled after the last earthquake that they had because the well stopped working. So they had to go back down there and re-drill the well. But Healing Hands International does a lot. This is actually in the churchyard. If I could show you another picture and show you the steps of the church house that we just saw, this is literally 25 or 30 feet from the front porch of the church building. So this well is for the community. It's allowed for anyone to use it. It is a way for them to get clean water. And when I say clean water for them and clean water that we can drink are two different things. But there's probably a couple of hundred people that rely on this well every week or every day to get their water. And this is is a good advertisement for the congregation there and has brought several people to Christ because of the generosity of Healing Hands International by drilling this well. Beans and rice for 350 people. The lady in the blue in the back, she is in charge. And if you don't believe her, you just go over there and ask her and she will tell you she's in charge. She took heads of cabbage. I didn't get any pictures of it, but she had a very large knife. And she was shredding these heads of cabbage finer than you can shred them in a machine to make a very hot coleslaw called pickling. It has scotch bonnet peppers in it, and it goes very well with the red beans or the black beans and the rice that we would have to eat later in the day. But that is a charcoal fire the lady's cooking on, and yes, she does have on flip-flops. So interesting how things are done when you don't have the resources, you make do with what you have. And that, Milton, that stove is welded out of rebar. So if we ever need a stove, we can get a pattern from that one there. The children love the ladies. All of the ladies that were on the trip constantly had children hanging on them. They want to touch them. They want to be with them. They want to sit by them. They want to be around them at every opportunity that they have. You see here Miss Janet and Chelsea, Olivia, Miss Margaret. The children just flock to them and love on them and hug on them the entire time that they're there. Here we are getting ready to teach I'm getting ready to teach a class here. I obviously have to have an interpreter because it's in Haitian Creole. This was supposed to be a marriage class. It turned into a ladies' marriage class because there were no husbands that attended this class. But that was okay. We did okay. We answered questions for the ladies from their perspective. This is the first day as we all came back together and we're preparing to have the afternoon meal. And these are the Americans that were serving the meal. Everyone on the team pitched in and served the food. And not one American ate one bite of food ever the entire time we were in Haiti until everyone was fed. The first day we fed around 325 at the best count we can get. And because word gets out, the next day we fed almost 500. The children here are getting a paper plate, a 9-inch paper plate, piled full of red beans beans and rice. And they're... The little salad there is called pickles, and you get a half of a hot dog, and I'm not sure exactly how they prepare that, but it's really shriveled up. I'm thinking they fry it, but I'm not 100% sure. But some of these children, this was the only meal that they would eat. You see our group standing there at the back door waiting for the meals to be put on the plate. Evan's got that one already, and he's getting ready to go out and serve it. So we would all line up and take the plates out and give them to the children. And the children would always sit orderly, never grab, never take food from another child, never do anything until they were handed the food, and then they would begin to eat immediately. But you see here the children sitting on the benches eating the food that was given them and even sitting on the floor. And even the smallest ones that could barely stand up or are able to hold a spoon, they're very much enjoying that meal. Most of the time we ate about a third of that because you have to realize we're in a tin-roofed building that has concrete block walls and the temperature outside, very similar to the humidity that you experience walking into the church building this afternoon. But you don't really want to eat rice and beans when it's 105 to 110 degrees with no air moving. So they were very appreciative of the food as they always are, and they ate every bit of the food that we had for them. They go outside and get the drinks for the water going out around the well. And then after we left there, we did send Thomas across the street, and he took some pictures at the compound from Joe Holly's compound across the street. I believe East Cobbert is the sponsoring congregation for that, but he just took a couple of pictures over there. These are some ladies that I'm not sure of their history. But now they work and they make beads. They make beads out of cereal boxes. Now, how they make beads out of cereal boxes, I did not get the whole story on that. I don't know everything I think I know about the beads, but if you look at the beads, they're absolutely gorgeous. They varnish them and they put them on bracelets and they sell them to the tourists and the other people that are down there. But I haven't yet figured out how you make a bead out of a cereal box, but they're very industrious, capable of doing that, and a very beautiful way to have them employed and make some money for them. The next day, or as we get ready to leave here, this is the group that was at Bonnet for the first day, the second day, and then we left there and went to Quatre Bouquet, which is another congregation. It's closer in to where we stay. It's in the city, very urban environment there. The first thing we had to do is call the water truck and get the water truck to come and bring the water. And obviously, we didn't drink this water, but this is considered potable water in Haiti. The truck, not so much. the water looked pretty good in the barrel, but we still wouldn't drink it. But that's a necessity that has to be thought about. And a lot of times when you don't have a well or you don't have running water, you don't think about water. But we had to be able to provide water for the 250 or 300 people that were there for the Vacation Bible School and to eat with us. Some of us sweated a lot, and some of us were really, really, really cool. They didn't look like they ever sweated. You can look at the picture there and tell who the cool guy is that didn't sweat. Mark and I, every picture you will see of Mark Willingham and myself, you will see us with wet shirts. I sweat profusely, especially in that environment. This is at Quadrique, and the only air moving is through the little holes in that block window, and those are there for security, obviously, so they don't have to put bars on them. Those are concrete blocks with holes in them, but no such thing as air conditioner. So if you're a little chilly tonight, just be happy that you're cool instead of sweating. The next day, we came back to Quadrique and did another Vacation Bible School for them. So we were there 2 days at Bonnet, 2 days at Quadrique, and then we left and went to the orphanage. Here's another candid shot that Thomas took, and you can see three of our ladies with the children surrounding them as they always do because they love to be and be around our ladies. Here they are talking and laughing with Lana. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, maybe looking at pictures. They very much like to have their picture taken and then be able to see it on your device, on your phone. They really enjoy the interaction, and it does help when you can't speak to them. Directly, some of them can speak a few words of English, and some of us can speak a few words of Haitian Creole. It's very difficult to communicate, but we're getting better as we go, and they're learning more English, which is good for us. So last year we went to Santos 11, which is the orphanage where Roberta Edwards was. And I show you these pictures last year, but I show you them tonight to give you a comparison of where we started and where we need to go. This congregation that supports this is the Estes congregation. They do a very fine job with this orphanage. You see here that they have, and the reason I brought this slide is I wanted you to see this. This is a pump that gets the water out of the ground and pumps it up to the roof so that they have pressurized water to use in the house. They also have a wall, a gate. The children have plenty of clothes. They have a security guard, which is a very big necessity in Haiti. If you do not have a wall, you better have a guard, and if you have a wall and a guard, you're in better shape than if you don't have either. Here Evan is last year playing with the kids, playing soccer out in their yard, and you obviously can see the wall and see the compound. They have coconut trees, avocado trees, and they have some banana trees and some other trees. They also have a feeding center. This is at the original place where we were last year, where they feed children. The building behind it with the red door is the kitchen. They feed a couple hundred children every day on their way to school, and they feed them on their way back home from school every day, so the children there and in this community at least get two meals a day. Roberta Edwards did a great job in starting this work, and they're continuing this work on now with a new director. It's a great work, and it's a model of the way that an orphanage and a feeding program should be run. Here they are. Just a picture from last year. There are banana trees in the background. They've got some corn planted there. You can see the tomato plants, different plants. This is a chicken coop that they had built. They poured a concrete slab there for that. They have a place to play. They have plenty of activities for the children to do. And the reason that I show you this is because of where we're going next. Lilyvah, when we showed up, we were warned, RV told us before we got there, that it was going to be a difficult day. It was difficult, very difficult. Probably one of the hardest days of my life. When we walked into the orphanage at Lilyvah, we came into the compound. We came in, this is actually the school building, and in behind it is the girls' dormitory. You notice that the wall's not very tall, and that's a pretty good indication that something is amiss. Around the corner there are several of the bars that have come off of the outside of the building, and the roof needs some repair work. Those are our two vans that we showed up in, that we rode everywhere we went there. This is Brother Julian here. See some of our members. This is actually the Lilyvah Church of Christ, and if you ever wondered if dogs go to church, the answer is yes in Haiti. There he is right there, and you'll see him in several other pictures. He shows up in just about every picture of this is actually the congregation, the church building of the congregation that meets there at Lilyvah. It was built by Joe Holly and some of the others groups that were down there several years ago, but they do have a congregation that meets there within the compound at the orphanage at Lilyvah. Here we are getting to know the children. One of the things that I think struck us as Americans, we had been there a couple of years, and we had dealt with the children at Guadalupe and Bonet, but these children were different. These children would hold on to you like their life depended on it. They are in need very badly of love and several other things, and we're going to talk about that as we go. But everywhere we went in the compound, if you would stick your hand out, you would have a child holding on to you, and in some cases, a child holding on to the child that was holding on to you. The boys especially, Greg and I have talked about this, would latch on to a man because they've never had a male figure that would love them or take care of them or do anything with them. So they're very, very, very much in need of love and affection. You see Luke here, one of the team here, he's hugging a young man there. You see Greg with a young man. A couple of the other guys are over here. There's Mark. They were constantly holding on to us and wanting to be with us. Everywhere we went, they wanted to pose for the pictures. They wanted to be held by the Americans and be touched by the Americans. Here Mark is with 4, 5, 6, 7 boys around him. The girls were drawn to the ladies. More pictures of us interacting with the children there. This is the first day. One of the things that we have to be careful of in Haiti is taking pictures of things. Very proud people, but if you'll notice in the background, you'll notice that the walls are bare. There's some holes in the walls in the end of the building there. This is the boys' dorm that we've actually walked into at this time. We're going back down, God willing, and we're going to do some work and get this up to get it in a better shape. And here we are. And I will say this, if there was room and luggage for children to ride, there would have been several children that would have come back to the United States at the end of that week. We had several of our ladies fall in love with children, and they would have brought them back home with them if that had been possible. From the oldest to the youngest, they wanted to be loved and held and touched and given reassurance that they were going to be taken care of. That's a hard picture for me to see. That was a hard reality when we walked into the boys' dorm. Those are mattresses and bunk beds. Before we left this day, the first day we went there, Greg Allen looked at me. And said in the most direct, reassuring voice I have ever heard, we are not leaving Haiti before these children have a decent mattress to sleep on. And we made that promise come true. There's no window. There's a piece of a sheet hanging over the hole in the wall where the boys are sleeping, and they're doubling and tripling up on these bunks because there's not enough bunks for them. These are some old bunks that came. We don't know where they came from, but they're rickety and they're falling apart, and it's just a very difficult picture for me to see again. This is the girls' dorm, a little bit better, but if you'll notice, everything that these girls own is hanging or stuck on top of a bunk. All of the suitcases that we didn't need to come home with went to these young ladies so that they would have at least something to put their clothes in. The big adventure. We talked to our driver. He told us he knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy that could get us some mattresses. So the next day, Greg Allen and I, with an interpreter and our driver, we took off. We drove about, in the United States, it would have taken you about 30 minutes. It took us about 4.5 hours. We stayed in traffic for a couple hours, and we went by several markets. This is a fruit and vegetable market at City Soleil on the outskirts of Port-au-Prince. And Greg took some pictures out the window. I was just hunkered down hoping that everything was going to be okay, but he was opening the windows and taking pictures. And these are his pictures from that. A lot of different sights and sounds and smells. If you can imagine a fruit and vegetable market, those are onions or garlic there on the ground. Where sanitation is not number one, you can imagine what it smelled like as we drove by there. And I think you can see there in behind those are literally tons of onions that are stacked up underneath that shed there. So we went into downtown Port-au-Prince, or on the edge of Port-au-Prince, and we were looking for a certain place, and the driver knew where he was going. Greg and I were along for the ride, but on the way we had to stop at the parts store and get a bulb, and I think he got a bulb and a bolt. But they're very industrious people. They don't throw anything away. You never see a car in the junkyard because they've taken it apart and they're trying to sell parts off of it. Here we are at very close to where we're going to get, and I wanted to show you this so you can see the street scene. There's not a bunch of people sitting around with their hands stuck out. Very industrious people, very poor people, but very industrious. You'll see the people in the background there with the storefront, and in front of them you have other people with goods to sell, and then out on the streets, right there on the edge of the street, you'll see the ladies that were trying to sell their produce. Everyone was going somewhere. Everyone was carrying something. They just need help. They're not standing around with their hand out wondering when the Americans are going to come back to give them some food. They do work if they can find a job, and everyone just about has some type of employment, whether they make a lot of money from it or not. Here we are. The landmark there is the bank. You see the bank. We went to a little shop right behind the bank, and we were able to procure the mattresses. How they tied that many mattresses on the top of a van, I still don't know, but they managed to do that. We made our way back to Lilyva, and we showed back up at the orphanage. And then we took the mattresses and moved them into the boys' dorm. You can see Miss Melanie there with a five-gallon bucket of some type of cleaning fluid. We could have used a lot more five-gallon buckets of cleaning fluid, but she was doing her best to clean up and get everything sanitary before we brought the new mattresses in to the boys' dorm. Here we are as we begin the next day. We came back the next day in shorts and T-shirts. We had several gallons of paint that were provided, and we began to paint the school. That is one of the things that was our focus for this year, the school that's on site there. Not only is it going to educate the orphans that are living there, which are, there are 54 of them, but it's also going to be opened up as a school so that children can come in from the community. There is no free education. No public education, if you will, in Haiti. Everyone has to go to a private school and has to be paid for. We're hoping to get this classrooms ready and start, and we've actually taken a couple of the graduates from the Haiti School of Biblical Studies and now given them a job as teachers in this school, so they will have gainful employment in the fall. Here we are again painting the classrooms. We had some very bright colors as we were painting, gray and blue, and I want to call that aquamarine or I don't know exactly what color that is. It was a greenish color. Able to clean up and get the classrooms in good shape. Now, this church, this building, the school building here, was built by a Japanese relief agency after the original earthquake in 2012. It was a relief agency that came over there and built this building for them, or rebuilt, tore the old building down and rebuilt this one. So they do actually have a school building on the property. When we arrived, this is where the ladies were cooking the food for 54 children. A pot and three rocks. It was another difficult picture for us to see. But they were doing the best they could with what they had. Thanks to you and other congregations, they now have a 100-pound propane tank and a three-burner stove was purchased. It was already in the works before we got there. RV had already known of the need, and he had already appropriated the money and sent it down there. And shortly, this picture was taken shortly after we left, I believe the next week after we were there. And this is Brother Julian standing proudly next to the stove with a 100-pound propane tank to be able to cook the food for the children. I don't know if you've ever gone to your pantry and laid down on your food and just laughed. But this young man was giddy with excitement when he realized that we had brought beans and rice and put it in his pantry. Because when we arrived, there was no food. We asked them to show us their food, and they didn't have any. The next day, as Greg and I were making our great adventure to get the mattresses, RV, and some others went down to the supply place, and they got 200 pounds of beans and 400 pounds of rice, and I think at least 100 pounds of meal that they use for breakfast. But this young man is giddy that he's laying on the food that they now can eat. Here's our team the last day as we're preparing to leave. We've been painting all day. You see us there with multicolored clothes because of the paint. Here is the entire orphanage out there with us, even the older caretakers. This is Brother Julian's daughter. It's one of the caretakers there at the orphanage, and they have several older teens in this orphanage. Here's the Willingham family. We're their new friends. They're getting ready to leave, and we're getting ready to board the buses to come back. And Evan with some of his new friends. When you spend time with someone, sometimes we don't make connections. We made connections at Lilyvale. On Saturday after we were at Lilyvale, we went to the Haiti School of Biblical Studies. The graduation was in a very nice hotel. You'll see Brother Arvey there, Brother Ed. And that's Jean Claubert there on the right. And these are the students that have graduated from a four-year program of biblical studies. They have their degrees there. They have a new suit of clothes. They all have a vocation. Two of them now have a job at Lilyvale at the orphanage to help with the school there. And the others have places to go to begin, start new congregations and to help other congregations that are already in existence. So that's a very, very good thing. It's a four-year program, and the new class will begin this fall. They don't do like we do typically in college and stagger. You start together and you finish together. So this was the first group to go through the Haiti School of Biblical Studies, and Brother Ed and Brother Arvey will continue and to take others and go down. And teach intensive two- and three-week classes, and then they'll have normal classes. And the gentleman on the left is Jean Claubert, and the gentleman on the right is Evans, and they're both the ministers at Bonnet and Quadre Bouquet, where we were, but they're also preachers at the school or teachers at the school of biblical studies there. Here are our ladies as we prepare to come home that Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, and then you see a lot of supervisors standing around. Not doing a lot to help these guys load the vans, but they didn't want us to help us. They didn't think we knew how to stack the luggage on top. So we're all standing around watching them stack the luggage on top. This is the Sunday morning as we're getting ready to go to worship. We were privileged to go once again to Quadre Bouquet to the church there. Some of us had been on the island for too long. Some of us needed to come home. This is Luke, and I don't know if you can recognize the other guy or not with the dark shades, but yeah, they were ready to come home. They'd been there a little too long. The children. In the orphanage at Lilyvale, there's 54 children that live there on a permanent basis. They feed sometimes more, sometimes less. Pictures were taken of every one of these children. We tried to get their names, their birth date, and that's a difficult thing if you don't have a birth certificate to know what year you were born. We did the best we could. All of these pictures are on the website for Liberté Ministries. You can find it through the Facebook page. You can go there. You can link to the website. But I wanted to show you the children. This is the future of Haiti. This is how you get from 350,000 cases of cholera down to 41,000, down to zero cases of cholera. This is how you get the poverty level down from 57% down to 10 or 15% or zero, if you could. But these are children that nobody else wanted. Brother Julian took them in. He's doing his best to raise them. He needs help. We are doing our best to help him. We have their food supply secured through the end of the year. We have enough funds to take care of that, so these children will be fed. We also are working to get funds to educate them, and you're going to be ask about that in just a minute, and I'll give you that information in just a second. But I want to talk to you for just a second about the power of influence. This is Chelsea, now Chelsea Willingham, Thomas's wife. And she doesn't do well with motion. So she went to the doctor before we went to Haiti, and she got some of the little patches you put behind your ear. Scopolamine, I believe, is what they call it, but the little motion sickness patches, and you put them behind your ear. And you wear them for 2 or 3 days, and it keeps you from getting motion sick. As we were riding through the lovely streets over the hills and different things, and the first day we were at Lilyvale, she met this young lady. The next day when we went back to Lilyvale, this young lady had a little sticker behind her ear. She saw that patch behind Chelsea's ear. And she took one of the little stickers that the ladies had given her the first day we were there, and she put it behind her ear. She didn't know why she was putting it behind her ear, but she put it behind her ear because of the influence of someone else. This young man sat next to me the second day we were at Bonai. And as we were about to begin the Vacation Bible School, there's a girl sitting to the left of him. You see part of her shirt in that picture. I believe it was his sister. It may have been his cousin, but I believe it was his sister. She came along and she gave him a pack of crackers. This was his breakfast. A little pack of crackers in blue foil right there. The little girl next door, you can see the sister or the cousin there. She's got a pack also. He's holding my hand. He won't let go of my hand. So with one hand, as he's holding his crackers, he looks up at me, as if to say, can you help me open my crackers? Of course I did. He held them and I opened them. And as I took that cracker out and handed it to him, the picture doesn't capture what happens next. He looked at me. He looked at the cracker in his hand. And then he gave it to me. What I had come to Haiti to do, this young man did for me. He showed me Jesus. Unselfish, willing to share. Didn't matter. He had two crackers. He wanted me to have one. Young lady came to her grandmother. She said, Grandmother, my life is very, very hard. She said, Grandmother, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Grandmother took her into the kitchen, put 3 pots of water on the stove. She started boiling water, and as she was boiling that water, she got out some different things to put in the water. First thing she got out was some carrots. She put the carrots in the water. She let them boil for 20 minutes. Then she took an egg. She dropped the egg in the boiling water. Let it stay in there for 20 minutes. And the next thing she took was a handful of coffee beans. And she put them in the water. And at the end of 20 minutes, she turned the stove off. And she asked her granddaughter to come in there. And she fished out the carrots and the egg. She dipped up the coffee, and she asked her granddaughter a question. She said, what do you see? And she said, well, I see carrots. They're really mushy now. You know, they were really, really strong and vibrant when they went in. They looked really good. Now they're just kind of mushy. She said, granddaughter, what else do you see? And she says, well, when the egg went in, it was liquid. Now it's hard. The yolk's no longer liquid. The white's no longer liquid. It's hard boiled. And then she asked her about the coffee. She said, what do you see now? And she said, it's coffee. It smells good. It tastes good if you like coffee. And she asked her granddaughter the question, which one are you? When life gets harder, are you going to allow yourself to go to mush? When your heart was open, able to be touched. You still look the same on the outside, but now you're hard-boiled. The inside of you is tough because of the situations you've been put in, because of things that's happened to you in your life. Of those three pots, the only one that's different is the coffee. The reason being is the coffee changed the water. It didn't allow, the boiling did not do anything to the coffee except make it stronger, make it better. The coffee beans changed the water from water into coffee. And I truly believe that the children of Haiti are the coffee. There are people in Haiti standing around with their hand out. That's a true statement. There's millions and millions of dollars that have been spent in relief in Haiti. And that's a true statement. But the children that we can educate, the children that we can feed, the children that we can love, those are the children that will change Haiti. How can you help? I'm glad you ask. First and foremost, you can pray every single day. Pray for the children of Haiti. Pray for the children at Lilleval. Go. Or support those who can go. And you do a very good job of that at Florence Boulevard. So thank you for that. And then the last thing you can do is you can send. As I got ready for this lesson, I talked to RV yesterday. And yesterday at noon when I talked to RV, there were 29 kids that had been supported for the school. There were 17 orphans that had been supported. We use a service through the website. You can go on libertéministries.com. You can click at the top, or you can go through Facebook and go through to it. You can click on a tab that says support, and it'll ask you, do you want to support for 31 or you support for 26? And I'll explain that. The $31 is because the company that does the transaction takes 99 cents. So we effectively get $30 for the children. Now, $30 a month does not feed, clothe, and school these children, but it goes a long way towards helping them. A dollar a day. $1 every 30 days. The other ones are for the elementary school. It starts as 26. They take the 99 cents and we get $25. And this will allow children from the community to go to school and be fed two times as they go, using the model that's being used at the other orphanage that we talked about. This congregation does a great job of supporting the ministry, does a great job of supporting the missionaries that go from this congregation. So you're under no obligation to believe or think that you've not already done something. You've done a lot already, and thank you for that. But a dollar a day? I just want to ask you just to think about that. Can you spare $1 every day? And if you don't have a credit card or don't want to do through the website, you can write a check. Write a check to Liberté Ministries and give it to me. Give it to one of the elders. Write a check to Florence Boulevard and tell the elders that's what it's for. We'll make sure the money gets to the right place. They can't hear the gospel with empty stomachs. They can't hear the gospel if they have no clothes. They can't hear the gospel if they have no shoes. They can't hear the gospel if they don't have an education. My question to you tonight is, are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean? Are you going to allow life to turn you into mush? Are you going to become hard like this egg? Are you going to change that water into coffee? I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't know how you feel about your salvation. But I will tell you this. If you're not right, you need to get right. You know if you're not right. If you need to do it in a public way, our elders are here. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you've never become a New Testament Christian tonight, if there's not water in this baptistry already, we can put water in this baptistry and we can baptize you for the remission of your sins. If you're to the age of accountability, you need to think about that. I thank you for listening to me tonight. I thank you for the children of Haiti. I thank you for allowing me to go, and I pray that you will continue to allow groups from this congregation to go to Haiti. There's a lot of work to be done in Haiti. There's a lot of work to be done all over the world. This is where we've chosen as a congregation to try to help. If there's anything we can do for you tonight in any way, maybe you just need the prayers of the church. Maybe you just need somebody to hug you and sit with you for a minute. Whatever your need is tonight, we ask you, if you need to come forward, we ask you to do that tonight as we come.